What are you bringing out there?
Ooh.
Wow. WCC.
Yeah. Yeah, what this isn't this a West Coast thing? Good to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Kay, when you're the MC, let's kick this thing off.
Let's get it going. WSD first. We're taking you back. We're taking our viewers back to your first time experiences as a Major League Baseball player. Now, I'm going to throw you cookies right down the middle. Easy questions. You'll be able to knock out of the park, maybe hit it in Triples Alley. Big Ben, on the other hand, he's like Rick Vaughn. He's coming for that chin. He's coming for your neck with some hard questions.
Wild thing. Okay. I'm
Let's
ready.
go.
I spent some time on the internet. I looked up some stuff about myself, so I feel confident.
All right. Ben, do you want to explain to our viewers about the knocking process and how eventually we'll figure out a way to get them into the booth to ask Randy some questions?
Yeah, so there is a knocking process. This is the platform, nofilter.net. We're a part of it. As you can see, there's a lot of guests that hold events on nofilter.net. The process is you hit knock. Kay Wynn is the administrator. I am the bouncer. So you will be let in by Kay Wynn, but I can easily kick you out. Actually, I don't have those privileges, so I'll have to signal you, Kay Wynn, to kick him out. But the concept is make sure your question starts with your first or first. We want to keep on that topic. Randy, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of good questions coming from our fans. And most likely, based on time, we'll probably do 9 innings versus questions. 9 innings of questions, so 9 questions from the field. We probably got 20 minutes of questions, just Kay Wynn and I.
All right, we'll kick it off. You were 23 years old, May 11th, 1998, the day you got brought up, and you were playing the Cleveland Indians in Tampa. Can you walk us through the 24 hours before you got the call, and then once you finally made it to Tampa for your big league debut?
Yeah, so I can't take you all the way back to 24 hours. I'll give you about 12. How about that? So I was in Toledo playing AAA for Tampa Bay. So that was the Durham Bulls, the one and only, the famous Durham Bulls from the movie. So we're in Toledo, and it's about noon. And let me take you back to 1998. Not everybody had cell phones back then. I know that's a long time ago for you youngsters here on the call, but yeah, no cell phone. So I was in my hotel room on the road. My roommate had gone to lunch, and I was just hanging out in the room. I don't know why he didn't invite me. I guess he didn't like me. But my hotel phone rang, and I pick it up. I'm like, "Hello?" And the voice on the other end said, "Yeah, Randy, this is Skip. Pack your bags. You're going to the big leagues." I look at the phone. I was like, "Who is this? Who's calling me? Is this some sort of joke?" And as the moments went by, he was explaining, "Trainer's going to pick you up." I realized that it was serious. So I was at the hotel. My stuff was at the field. So I threw everything in my bag in my room, ran downstairs, met the trainer, ran to the field, threw everything in my bag, and I think it gave me like an hour and a half to make it to the Toledo airport. So I go flying to Toledo airport, missed my flight. So we're on the phone with the traveling secretary in Tampa trying to get me another flight. Toledo's airport is super, super small, so there's only one flight going to Tampa, and I missed it. So I'm nervous, I'm panicked, I'm thinking this is my only chance. I'm not going to make it. They're going to call up somebody else. He finds a flight in Detroit. So me and the trainer jump in the minivan off to Detroit.
Planes,
Two and a
trains, and
half hours.
automobiles.
Yes, 2.5 hours. We get to that airport. I miss that flight too. So now so we call the guy back, and he's like, "Gosh, I just can't find a flight." And so
Wait,
I go
this is two
scrambling
missed
around,
flights?
2 missed flights. So I go scrambling around the departure area. Spirit Air has one flight getting there. I'd land at like, I don't know, it was like 6 o'clock for a 7:15 game. So I think I paid for the flight. I threw my credit card down. I had not a whole lot of cash. Threw my credit card down, jump on Spirit Air, fly in, land in Tampa, home game versus Cleveland. Tons of traffic. Go over the bridge down to St. Pete.
Wait, are you getting a
Boom.
cab?
Jump in a cab with all my stuff, all my baseball bag, everything. get to the stadium. I'm running in. And I remember I'm going into the clubhouse as I think our starting outfielder or starting catcher, it might have been John Flaherty, was going out to the field. Like the game was about to start. So I run in, I get dressed, run downstairs, and I only miss the first pitch. But I have not taken a breath since. And so I'm on the bench, like hyperventilating. And I end up sitting next to my buddy, Bobby Smith, who's from Oakland. He was a rookie. And I'm telling him my story. And some of the veterans hear the story. And so they're like, hey, Randy, come down here and tell us the story. So I have this audience, and I'm telling the story about how I missed all these flights and I barely made it. And so I tell the story, and then I go back to my seat. And, you know, veterans sat down at the end of the bench. Rookies, you were kind of in the middle, closer to the coaches. So as the game's going on, I look down. There's no veterans on the bench. And I look down, and the coaches are still there, and my boy Bobby's next to me still. So I'm like, all right, I'm cool. Then like half an inning later, Bobby gets up and leaves. And now there's nobody near me, like not a person. And this is my first, like I've barely been in the big leagues 2 hours. And I look down the bench, there's nobody there. And the camera's on me down at the camera well, like by first base. And I'm like, gosh, why is this camera on me? And I look to this way towards home plate, and that camera's on me. And I'm like, well, maybe it's because I'm a rookie. So I'm just sitting there, which a couple innings go by. Then finally somebody comes by, and I had this huge bubble. Somebody blew bubblegum bubble and put it on my hat. One of the veterans did while I was telling the story. So I don't know how long I had that bubble on my hat, but that was the 12 hours-ish for my first day in the big leagues. Oh, wait, hold on. I did get in the game. I pinch ran, and I got thrown out stealing by Sandy Alomar Jr.
There's an actual position in the MLB franchise that it's the assistant to the traveling secretary. Is that what you said?
Well, generally, no. There is just the traveling secretary. Are you looking for that position? I know some people. I could talk to them for you.
George Costanza had that. all right. Your first at bat, Randy. My wife's from Kansas. Your first MLB at bat was in Kauffman Stadium against Pat Rapp. This guy looks pretty formidable. Big goatee. What's going through your head during your first MLB AB?
So this was actually, I think it was the next night. I think we were still in Tampa, but I think Kansas City came in.
Okay.
So we were still at home, and I pinch hit late in the game, first Pat Rapp. And I don't remember a whole lot about it other than I made an out. Like I was super nervous. And I end up grounding out. So in my big league career, 2 days, I am 0-for-1 with a caught stealing.
Oh, going back to his AAA story, Ben, it's such good news that me and you never played minor league baseball or were in AAA, because we would just prank call each other. Be like, this is Skip. You've been called up to the big leagues.
Oh, yeah, I was hoping you'd said you showed up at the stadium and it was just a joke. Okay, Wynn, next question.
The next game, you did get your first big league hit. Can you walk us through who that was against and the pitching sequence and the scouting report on that pitcher?
I have an announcement to to the people watching. Can you stop calling me while I'm trying to tell my stories, okay? this is an important podcast. And I'm trying to remember my history, and you keep blowing up my phone. Please stop calling Drew Zurich. Thank you. I didn't mean to say the name. It just slipped out. Okay, so the next night, same situation. I'm not starting. I'm on the bench. I come in late for a pinch hit, and I believe it was Scott Service. And at that time, there were two players. There was Scott Service, the catcher, and Scott Service, the pitcher. I got a hit off Scott Service, the pitcher, not the catcher. So similar situation, like I said, late in the game, I want to say, so Pat Rapp was a lot of cutters. Like he was one of the first guys. Pat Rapp and Al Leiter were the first guys that I faced that threw like legitimate cutters. Like I had never seen that pitch before. Scott Service, I want to say, was more of a four-seam sink type pitcher, curveball changeup. And he generally stayed away. And so I hit a fastball away, and it was like a two hopper to the shortstop. but I think I was so excited I beat it out. So my first hit was an infield single at Tropicana Field.
Looks like a rocket in the box score.
Yes. Off the wall, in fact.
Off the wall, wow.
All right, Randy, here comes one kind of high and tight. Tell me about the first time you committed Grand Theft Auto.
Still waiting for that one.
Tell us about the time you attended a Clippers game, greased the marketing gal or guy, attempted a half-court shot, and basically stole that car from the Clippers.
Well, they didn't know that half-court, that's in my range. You get me a little bit closer, not quite as good. So this was the off-season between 2000 and 2001, I believe. No, or between 1 and 2. And I was down in L.A. visiting our family, so my aunt, uncle, cousin, and my agent got tickets to the Clippers game. And so I just happened to be in town, same time that he had tickets, so he said, I'll leave you two tickets at the will call. So I took my cousin, who at that time was in high school, and so we go to the game, and we're late. And so I'm running, I sprint over to will call, grab the tickets, and at this time, the Clippers have been up and down, let's just say. They were having a bit of a renaissance. They were playing well. And so I wanted to get in and see them play. So I was in a hurry. And so we got the tickets and we're running in.
Lob City, right?
No, this is before Lob City.
This is Corey Maggette, Darius Miles, right?
Yeah, this might have been Darius Miles, Jeff McGinnis maybe era, I think. And so so I run in and I'm trying to get to the front door and this nice woman stops me and she's like, hey, excuse me. Do you want to shoot a half-court shot for a car? And I said, no. And I'm trying to get past her. But my cousin's kind of pulling on my sleeve and said, yeah, you should do it. So I'm like, okay, all right, what are the rules? And she said, okay, you know, are you or have you ever been a professional? And I was like, okay, this is my way out. She said, basketball player. And I was like, no, I haven't. Then she said, did you play basketball in high school or college? And I said, yes. And she said, was it within the last 5 years? I did the math and it had been 6. So I told her yes, but it had been 6. So she said, fine, good. Where are you sitting? So I told her where I was sitting. Said, okay, we'll come up and get you. You're going to shoot between the third and fourth quarter. Like, cool, great. So I go up to the box and my agent's there and there's some players there. One of the players is Ryan Dempster. So Demp and I go way back to minor league days. You know, we instructional league, we used to ride together. He loves pro wrestling. He would come to my room and try all these wrestling moves out. So Demp's there and I tell him and he's super excited. He's like getting me all fired up. He's like, come on, Randy, we got to do it. You got to, you know, you're going to make it. And so, you know, we're just hanging out through the game. People come up, they're like, all right, you know, it's time to go. So we walk down from the suite level all the way to the bowels of the arena. And as I get down there, I ask, there's two guys that are walking me there. And I asked them, I'm like, hey, give me some advice. And so the one guy says, everybody ends up short. Like, all right, mental note, don't end up short. So I'm standing on the baseline and I swear it was Jeff McGinnis. End of the third quarter, it's a tight game. He shoots a fadeaway like at the buzzer. And so they're on the other end of the court. So as the ball goes in the air, the guy's, all right, come on, let's go. He hits it. Crowd goes nuts. So I'm walking onto the court. Crowd goes nuts. Music is playing. Cheerleaders dancing. They take me out to half court, like, you know, shooting the Mitsubishi half court shots, you know, tonight for a car. And so the crowd's, everybody's dancing and happy. And so all I have in my mind is don't be short. So I back up a couple dribbles, shoot it. And as I shoot it, I'm following it. And I go, gosh, that's right on line. And it banked in. And I kept running like off the court and the cheerleaders tried to grab me and wanted to dance. And I was like, no, that's I'm not doing that. So I won a car.
Where's the car today?
The car today, that is a really good question. But my mom, I gave it to my mom and she drove it for an extremely long time. So thanks to Mitsubishi and Mitsubishi Lancer. It was a good car for a very long time, but a really funny side story. So I think that was the offseason between 01 and 02. So 02, I'm playing and where do we go? We go into somewhere. I can't remember which team I'm playing. And I see Eddie Murray. And Eddie Murray at this time is a hitting coach. And so, you know, he speaks. I'm like, hey, Mr. Murray, how you doing? And he goes, so I'm at a Clippers game this offseason. Eddie Murray was at the game in the front row. He saw it. He can verify it.
I just love how Bev kept there. You gave Bev the car. That's nice. Was it one of those lowered ones with dual exhaust? Or is it just?
No. No. It wasn't. No. It wasn't like a Fast and Furious car. Yeah. No. My mom was not ripping and running around corners in the Fast and Furious.
All right, guess if you start knocking, we'll try to figure out if we can let a couple viewers in to ask Randy a question. While you start knocking, I have another one. So this is from our intern.
All right.
October 3rd, 1999, against the New York Yankees. Same Yankees that went on to win the World Series. It was their 25th World Series. You hit an inside the park grand slam. Can you walk us through who that was against? And what were you thinking when you were rounding first base?
Well, so let me take you back about 15 or 20 days. So I hadn't played in about 15, 20 days. I had been hurt, but roster expanded, so I didn't go on the DL. We were playing at Tropicana Field, and we're facing the Twins, and I'm trying to remember who is that. I was their second baseman,
Todd Walker.
Anyway, Todd Walker, yes, hit a ball over my head in center field. And as I'm tracking this ball, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to make this really cool catch. I'm going to jump, and I'm going to crash in the wall. I'm going to steal this move from Torrey Hunter. I've seen Torrey do it a bunch. So I jump, I hit the wall, and I twist my ankle, and I go down in a heap. So I'm out. Like, I can't run. I can't really put weight on it, just doing treatment, not hitting. And so a couple days before the season ends, this might have been the day before the season ended or maybe the last day of the season, I get a start. Like, I'm feeling better. And so I'm not real sure how good my ankle is. It's good enough to play, but I don't think I can go all out. So Jeff Jeudon is pitching, bases loaded at Tropicana Field. I hit this ball to left center. I'm just happy I got a hit, you know, after not playing for so long. Tropicana and left, well, there's a lot of weird things about the Trop, but in left center, the fence kind of has this weird angle. And the ball hits the weird angle, bounces over the center fielder's head, and basically tracks the center field wall towards right center. And it's turf. So this thing is getting away from him. So as I round first, I see it bounce over center fielder's head. And so I go, I'm gone. And so I kick it into high gear. And second, I get to third. The third base coach is waving me. And at that point, there's just no thinking. It was like, hey, you might as well go for it. You got a chance.
All right, Randy, we're going to work out this knock thing. But I am getting texts for questions that people do want to ask.
All right, perfect.
First question comes from Lori Days, as I call him, old high school buddy. First time you met Steve Nash?
Oh, man, good question. Well, so our freshman year, we had seven of us who played basketball. I mentioned one of them who's in the audience. So Drew Zirk, myself, Jason Sedlock, and Steve Nash all lived in the same dorm. And I think all of us coming from different parts of the world, so I mentioned there were seven freshmen in France, Indiana, LA, Oregon, Canada, and then two kids from Danville. We're all kind of thrown into a new situation, and we all really just banded together. So I don't remember the exact first time that I met Steve, but I'm sure it was one of the first days I was in my dorm. He was only two doors down. But I do remember a weird first story with Steve. The first time we went to the gym to shoot, he was shooting left-handed.
Really?
I don't know why, but he was just shooting left-handed. And I was like, huh, left-handed point guard. That's interesting. And he had a good shot. Like, it was like you didn't think he was messing around. He had a good shot. And then all of a sudden he starts shooting right handed. And you're like, huh, this is a really good shooting point guard from Canada.
All right. Okay, when did you work out the knock? Here we go.
Oh, we have a guest?
We do. John Madden. Yeah, him and I actually still to this day. I get my tickets, Mariners tickets, through him. So I think this might be a Mariners slanted question, but
oh, I hope so.
Madden, you gotta start with your first or first. Or you're up. He's also the same guy that said we should have used Zoom. So never.
Wait, I got it figured out. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah, there he is.
Hey, got it. There's a lot of steps. There's like some settings you got to do, and it's confusing. So I totally understand why Randy took a little while to hop on, because it took me a little while.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm getting bad mouthed here. I appreciate that.
No, thank you, Randy, for hopping on, and it's great to hear these stories. So I got it's a different question, but there's a lot going on with baseball right now where the games are long. I think in 2018, there was more strikeouts than there were hits. What's the first thing you would do to improve the game?
Yeah, so you sit around with buddies and you try to solve the world's problems and, you know, fix your sports issues if you're a commissioner for a day. And actually, one of the things that I thought of that I thought would never come out of my mouth as a hitter is I would have a bigger strike zone. I would have a strike zone where it forced hitters to manipulate the barrel of the bat to cover different quadrants, you know, of the zone and force them to change their swing to put the ball in play. I think a lot of hitters in today's game have what we call like a one plane swing, and they kill mistakes in the middle of the plate. Doesn't matter throw how hard you throw. I mean, we're seeing unbelievable velocity in the game, but you throw it in that one plane and it just gets hammered. And I think pitchers have little defense to, you know, go to the bottom of the zone, go to the top of the zone. We see a lot of guys pitching at the top of the zone because that's where they believe the spin rate, they can get swings and misses. But you miss down just a little bit and the ball gets hammered. So I think a bigger strike zone would give the pitchers some defense and ultimately make the hitters make an adjustment to change their swing. And then I think that'll put more balls in play.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, is less home runs, more triples, more stolen bases. That makes the game more entertaining. Be interesting.
I sure think it does. You know, more action, the stolen base, taking extra bases, balls in play. And then on that side, you're seeing guys that play great defense. You're seeing Ken Griffey Jr. run down balls and Omar Vizquel making great plays and, you know, watching guys showcase their skills. I've always thought that was fun. You know, home runs are great and seeing guys hit the ball 900 feet is great. But watching Omar Vizquel to Robbie Alomar Jr. on a double play is just phenomenal.
Absolutely. Small ball. That's what we need to go back to.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Agreed.
You know what else is phenomenal? I can't even talk. I'm so excited. We got Drew Zurich in from Gilbert.
How did he get in?
Can you see me?
I can. Oh, wait, I have a question for you. Why'd you call me 900 times? I'm trying to talk.
I just want to know when Randy became so long-winded. You ask him a question, and it's about a 10-minute answer. I will tell you. But first off, I want to say it's a big Ben and K-Win. I'm a first-time, long-time baby. I've been waiting for this opportunity to be on here. This is a great chance. I'm freaking so pumped. Cheers to you boys.
Drew, last time I saw you, you weren't drinking. We were actually at Body, I think, down in Scottsdale.
We were working out. That's right.
Yeah.
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 I was getting my lift on. So,
You look good.
Hey, well, I appreciate
you look great.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys look great. Our hosts are doing a phenomenal job today. I think you guys are doing tremendous work. Thank you. And Randy, good to see you, buddy. I got a question for Mr. Wynn. So I'm curious. So you were a two-sport star, you know, athlete in college. What impact do you think that playing basketball had ultimately on your baseball success? And if you had to do it over again, would you have played basketball as long as you did?
Yeah, great question.
You don't have to 15-minute answer. I'll take the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah, dude, that question was long-winded.
I think it had a big impact. Both Kyle and I played a lot of sports growing up, and I think that, playing soccer, playing tennis, playing basketball, playing baseball, I think each one helps you with the other one. No, I would not do anything different. I loved all my time getting hit in the chest and practiced by your elbows. That was a lot of fun. So I would not take that back.
That's it?
You said keep it short.
Hey, Randy, I got one.
I'm not a big fan of early specialization. My example is this. If I was 9 years old and you gave me ice cream and let me eat as much ice cream as I wanted every single day, at some point I would begin to hate ice cream. I think you've got to miss the sport. There's a reason that professionals don't play year-round. I think giving your body a break and then also doing other things. Like Omar Vizquel, I asked him, I said, best fielding shortstop I've ever seen. How'd you get so good at fielding? He said, salsa dancing, right? Being able to move your feet, having rhythm, like it helps. Like he's obviously has phenomenal hands, but not just feeling ground balls all the time and getting mechanical is a huge thing.
Well, thank you for the time, Randy. I appreciate the answer. As mentioned, great work, boys. I'm looking forward to the next one. I can't wait to see who we got on next.
Thanks, Drew.
Fireplace.
All right, Ryan Wright, coming up. Willow Glen, Santa Clara, where are you? Where are you calling from, Ryan?
San Heezy. Yeah, Willow Glen, how we do it. You guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yep.
All right. What up, Randy? How you been, man?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, I had a question for Drew Zirk. I'm sorry you guys let him go, but we'll have to save that for the show. All right, Rand, I want to go. All right, so you're coming up, you're making some strides in your big league career. What's it like the first time you see somebody wearing your jersey in the stands?
It's really surreal. Like, growing up, I put big leaguers, on such a pedestal, from Kyle and I in the front yard, imitating stances, going to games, watching guys play, trying to get their autographs, watching all-star games was such a big treat. And then to turn around and be a part of it, it was really, really surreal. Like the first time somebody asked you for your autograph, you're like, me, are you sure? Me? And that was the same feeling when you see somebody wearing your jersey in the stands. It's like, I'm just Randy. Like, why are you wearing my jersey? We got Fred McGriff here on the team. Why don't you go get his jersey? I mean, that's the crime dog. So, truly honored to have played as long as I did. And anytime you had fans or people come up to you and say they appreciate the way you play, it means a lot.
All right, good stuff.
Ryan, my favorite story was. I was going to say,
go ahead.
We're in St. Louis. It's after the game. It's me, Randy, and I don't know who it is. Maybe it's like a trainer or like Kevin Franzen. And St. Louis, their fans are crazy, right? And they know everyone. They love their sports. They come up to us. We're right around the ballpark having a beer. And this guy comes up to me and he looks at me. He's like, Randy, can I have your autograph? And I look at Randy, and Randy looks away, and I look at the guy, and he's looking straight at me. He's like, please? And I'm like, I'm not Randy Witt. And I just walk away, and Randy's just laughing the whole time. But there's this fan out in St. Louis who can't stand Randy Witt because he turned down an autograph.
Yeah, thanks. That was the beginning of the get-out-of-town Randy Witt.
Well, I don't mind your long-winded answers, Randy. Good stories. Keep it up.
Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it.
It's all good in my book.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. I think we got another one coming on here.
Oh, I was hoping I was hoping that we would get this guy on.
I can't see him.
I'm working. I don't even see myself on here.
Are you working undercover?
I don't know what's going on. I'm at work. I don't know. I can't figure anything else out. How are you, Randy? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Can we give my man an introduction? This is Joe Fanaro.
I don't want any introduction.
My minor league roommate with the good old Florida Marlin days.
That's it. Long time ago, Randy.
Yeah, we go back a long ways. How are you doing, Joey?
Good. I'm doing well. I'm doing real well. You guys still quarantining over there?
It's opening up a bit, but we'll see. Time will tell.
So I got a question for you, Randy.
Yeah.
Would you agree that there's an inherent pressure that athletes, baseball players put on themselves to perform and prove that they belong in the big leagues or whatever sport they're at, they're participating in?
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting that – I mean, at some point, it changes. Like, it's always a game, but at some point you realize that it's also a business and it's also your career. And I think once you hit that point, yeah, there's an added pressure because you know if you don't perform, you're going to go home. I remember we were playing in Elmira, New York, and we had a pitcher on that team. Good old Elmira. And I thought he was pretty good. And he had a family, he had kids, he was married, and you know, he worked in the offseason. I think he drove a truck, and you know, he's just grinding through like everybody else. And then I remember one day he came in and he got released. And this was a pitcher I thought was pretty good. And that for me was the moment that I realized that, okay, this is more than just a fun game. This is a business, this is work, this is a career. And not that the pressure was ever got to be too much, but there is definitely pressure to perform because you realize that if you did not perform, there's somebody either on the bench or that got drafted the year behind you that was going to take your job.
Absolutely. All right. With that being said, so in 1997, you were taken by the Rays in the expansion draft. And in 2002, you were traded straight up for Lou Piniella. Which one of these career events caused you more pressure, quote unquote pressure, to kind of prove that you were the right guy for these moves?
Great question.
Great question, Joe.
I would say the second one. A big league trade was more pressure. When Joe and I were in winter ball in Hawaii, Joe was with me during the draft when I got taken. Nobody who knew who I was. It was the third round of the expansion draft. They weren't expecting me. There he is.
There he is.
Can you see me? Hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on. Am I here? Can you see me?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, you're not on the cover anymore.
I can't see you guys. I have no idea how to work this.
Yeah, we see you, Joey. So expansion draft, Joey and I were in Hawaii playing winter ball, and third round expansion draft. Nobody knew who I was, right? I wasn't going straight to the big leagues. There's no pressure whatsoever. When you get traded in the big leagues, and I was going to a very good team in Seattle who's coming off the same core group that had won 116 games for a very high profile person and manager in Lou Piniella, like there is more pressure because the expectations were a lot greater. Like that team was supposed to come in and compete for the playoffs and hopefully compete for a championship.
Absolutely. You can understand that.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I got for you, Randy.
Yeah. Thanks, Joey. Good to see you, buddy.
Coming on.
Good seeing you.
All right, Randy. Can you take two more questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Knock, if you want to come in. I saw a couple of people like Marco jump in, but jump out. Oh. All right, we might have another one jumping in.
I got a question from Marco, actually. He wanted me to ask. Your first experience of a bench-clearing brawl, and did it get Western?
Oh. I don't remember my first. Now, this might have been the first. So we're playing the Yankees, and this is the Yankees in their dynasty years. Like, I think this was probably 1999. And a guy that I already mentioned from Bobby Smith gets hit with a pitch, and Jorge Posada jumps out in front of him to throw down to third, but Bobby's going to the first base dugout. And so they kind of bump each other. A few words were said. The next thing I know, they're going at it right there on top of home plate. And I just remember running out there. This had to be really early, because I felt like a rookie out there, like not knowing what to do. And ultimately not much else happened, but I just remember it happened real quick. It escalated extremely quick, and they were on the ground rolling around in the dirt.
Times. All right, we have Daoud Kaysen and Hudson Kaysen calling from Robbinsville, New Jersey.
Yeah, right around the corner. And hey, Randy, I fortunately or unfortunately know your brother rather well. But Hudson, me. Hudson has a question now.
What was your favorite team that you? What team was your favorite?
Which team, which organization was the best organization you played for? I think he's asking.
Ooh.
Wow. Hudson, you have asked me the toughest question yet. You're making me sweat over here. All right. I'm going to give my political answer first, and then I'll give you my response. Honestly, like every team I played for has a special place in my heart. So Tampa were all my first start, first hit, first stolen base, et cetera. Going to Seattle was my first chance to win and go to a team that had playoff aspirations. The Giants was my chance to come home and play, you know, in the city that I basically grew up just outside of, and a place where, or a team that I had gone to watch as a kid. So with all that said, I would have to say probably the Giants, just for the reasons of being able to play at home. And I played at home later in my career, so there was not that added pressure of, everybody coming to the games. I remember when I got traded to San Francisco, I got a few texts, some emails, phone calls, but most of the people said, oh, yeah, you know, we'll catch you down the line. So being able to come home and play at home, the place where I'm from, my wife's from, was really, really a special time. And I compare it a little bit to Little League. You know, I would come out of the clubhouse after the game. My brother was there. My parents were there. You know, all the families was hanging out. So I would have to say the Giants.
I have actually a follow-up to that.
Yeah.
Since you guys are all about West Coast, Tupac or Biggie Smalls?
I mean, there's really no comparison. I think that's Tupac all day.
Yeah.
Thanks, Randy. Thanks for your time.
All right, Todd.
Yep.
Peace it.
Yeah, Hudson.
Wow, Hudson. It's a tough question.
I know. With the zinger.
Yeah.
He's going to take sweat our job someday.
Who was sweating more, you or me, trying to let people in as they were knocking?
Yeah, I'm glad that we learned the truth that it wasn't me. That there's some
user error on myself. Light user error. Big Ben, you got any more questions?
No, I don't. Well, last question, I think. First time, Randy, you were actually awestruck in the majors.
Easy. We go to Seattle, and I'm playing left field in the Kingdom, and Dennis Springer, who's a knuckleballer, is pitching for my team, and Griffey Jr.'s up. And Dennis throws him a knuckleball that kind of hung a little bit, and I felt like a fan for a little bit longer than I should have. Like, it stuck out. Junior hits this majestic high home run to the upper deck, just like you know, I had seen as a fan. Like, it was almost like I was watching TV. And that was the first time where I felt like awestruck, and I felt like I was a fan. It was like watching Griffey Jr. at the height of Griffey Jr. be Griffey Jr.
Thank you for the time, Randy. You're the man.
No, no, we got one last question. Who would you like to see on the show next?
I think Bernsey would be good. I also think Sean Casey would be really good. Like, those guys are really funny and really good storytellers. I'm volunteering Mike Frank to help you get Sean Casey. So you're welcome, Mike. Have you had Kevin Franzen on the show twice before me?
No, only once. He's committed to twice, but he's only been on once.
Franny, he was bragging to me. So I took that personal. That was hurtful.
Randy, I owe you butter cake at Mastro's. Thank you.
I'm in.
You live on the West Coast, you live on the East Coast, you live in Kansas. If you love West Coast sports, this is your place. This is Big Ben.
This is K-Win, even Baco, even Reno. We got you all covered in the West Coast.
We make up WST Podcast. All sports, all West Coast, NFL, MLB, NBA, WCC, Pac-12, it doesn't matter.
We also throw in some fun, a little humor with our 5-minute life guides.